This is Long Story Short from the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. I'm Ebong Udana. UConn grapples with the legacy of a defunct Connecticut Institute for the Disabled.
There were all kinds of abuses that were exposed in the 1970s, and there was a large court case that happened which ultimately led to the closing of the school.
That's Amelia Ott, the Connecticut Mirror's justice reporter. She's done a deep dive into how a UConn professor and her students are piecing together the history of Mansfield Training School, a defunct Connecticut Institute for the Disabled. More to come after this.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Hamilton, executive editor of the Connecticut Mirror. Many news organizations let you read a few articles for free each month, and after that, they make you pay a monthly subscription fee. Not CT Mirror. We don't believe in charging people to stay informed. We don't ask people to enter a credit card number to participate in democracy. If CT Mirror provides value to you, however, we do ask that you consider paying for it through a tax-deductible donation. Just click the red donate button on the top right of any CT Mirror page.
Hello, Amelia. A professor and a former UConn student got you interested in this story. How did that happen?
I was friends with one of the students who worked with Professor Brugman on the project around the Mansfield Training School archives when she was a senior at UConn. And she had contacted me. Also, she's also a journalist. And she had contacted me, letting me know that Professor Brueggemann might be interested in talking to me, and I found the story just fascinating.
What was so fascinating about the story? Because there was a time when institutions like this were top of the news, but it seems to have faded away. Why is it important to keep that memory?
So I'm not from Connecticut originally. I'm from New York, and I knew nothing about the Mansfield Training School. So to me, this kind of history tells us so much about how we think about people who are neurodivergent or with disabilities and how society evolves over time. And it tells us a lot about ourselves as human beings and as people. And the interesting thing about this story was that it's not just a Connecticut story. It's paralleled all over the country with these institutions. And there are multiple states across the country that have been trying to revive the history of these institutions to better understand, what was going on in the past.
Could you just give us a brief background of the history of the Mansfield School itself? How did it start and how did it evolve?
So Dr. Brueggemann would definitely be a better person to talk to than I would about this, but it began with a doctor named Henry Knight in the 1850s, and he had wanted to run this kind of a hospital for people with special needs. He had asked for state support and did not initially get it, so he funded it himself. And the hospital evolved from there, did eventually get state support. It became kind of a labor farm in the 1920s where people were living there, but also doing farm work, sewing work, different industries, basically to fund the institutions. And it evolved over time to become sort of these dormitories for people where, giant dormitories where people were living with different disabilities. In the 1960s, it allowed UConn to come in and do some experiments there on people, testing brain function and things like that. And as our understanding of the rights of people with disabilities changed, the school tried to become more of a place where people were given small cottages to live instead of being placed in these big barracks types rooms, and trying to incorporate people more into the community. There were all kinds of abuses that were exposed in the 1970s. And there was a large court case that happened, which ultimately led to the closing of the school.
Now, something interesting that comes out in your story is that Professor Brueggemann and her crew of researchers found much more interest in information outside of the actual archives of the Mansfield School. Could you just tell us a little bit about that?
So I think you're probably referring to the family members themselves that they talked to. The archives obviously gave them a background on the history itself. And Professor Brueggemann also came into contact with some family members who had siblings that were residents of the training school at one time. And I was also able to talk to a couple of those people and hear their stories. And this is another reason, going back to your question about why is this important, it affected families and it still affects the history of families today who want to understand what their siblings experienced while they were at the training school. And Professor Brueggemann also talked to former employees at the training school who remembered the different iterations of the school as it progressed from being like more barracks and institutional like to a more community focused type of place, if you can call it that.
Now, one interesting thing that I saw when I was reading your article was the fact that there are concerns that developing that site, that there might be some people buried there, because similar situations happened in other states where institutions like this were redeveloped.
Yeah, so there have been questions about that, as you said, in other states where these institutions have been researched, they have found bodies buried on the property, and there was some question about whether there might be some human remains on the property. There was, during the 1918 flu epidemic, a lot of people died at the institution. As of now, they have not found any evidence that there are bodies buried on the property, but, you know, they haven't tested the entire property. So I know one of Professor Brueggemann's students has been looking into this and seeing if there is a possible way to narrow down like where human remains might be found on this property, because it's quite large.
Mm-hmm. And what's happening to the actual site right now?
Nothing, honestly. The site is, the buildings are not usable for the most part. They are old and broken down. The site itself has just sort of languished. There's a piece of it that is being turned into a new Wyndham Technical School, but that's a small area. And there were conversations about turning part of the site into an autonomous vehicle driving racetrack to supplement the transportation center at UConn, but it looks like that will not be going through. So right now, not much is happening with that property.
In the meantime, Professor Brueggemann and her crew of researchers are still deeply involved in trying to piece together what has happened.
Yes, Professor Brueggemann wants to do an oral history of the school, and that's part of the reason she's talking to family members. They just created a new website about the school with an excellent timeline that I referenced in my reporting. They've done a lot of really great work, and I look forward to seeing what else they do.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amelia. Long Story Short is hosted by me, Ebon Udana, and produced by Molly Ingram. Harriet Jones is our editor. WSHU's Alicia Daddario and the Connecticut Mirror's Gabby DeBenedictis are our digital team. This podcast is a collaboration between the Connecticut Mirror and WSHU Public Radio. We go behind the scenes at the home of public policy journalism in Connecticut. More can be found online at ctmirror.org and wshu.org. Our episodes can be found wherever you get your podcasts.